I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Okay, everyone, thanks for joining us this Friday. Welcome into a big 11 o'clock hour. I told you when I saw our next guest, Alex Berenson, formerly from the New York Times and author of the book, Tell Your Children the Truth About Marijuana, Mental Illness, and Violence. He was compelling with Tucker Carlson, and we are certainly in the era of talking about legalization in New Jersey, maybe Pennsylvania down the road. Let's bring in Alex Berenson here on Talk Radio 1210. Alex, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Dom, thanks so much for having me on.
Well, this is right in our bailiwick. New Jersey essentially is poised to go recreational marijuana. And when I saw you with Tucker, I thought, well, the attack we're going to hear on you would be, this is really a more sophisticated reefer madness that you're out there peddling. What do you say to that, Alex?
I say that's what I'm saying. I'm saying that marijuana causes mental illness, and mental illness causes violence. And it's not an accident that people have been talking about this for more than 100 years. And, you know, in the book, I go into where reefer madness came from. And one of the really interesting things in the book is that Mexico actually made marijuana illegal before the United States. There was more use in Mexico, and people were more aware of its connection to mental illness and violence.
So your theory, and for listeners, this is meticulously researched. I don't think I've ever seen as many scientific studies in one place, and the breakdown of them, Alex, is that slowly but surely, for what reason? What's the agenda, or who is it that's behind the agenda that has indoctrinated the American public that we're poised to believe? You see these figures within 10 years, all but maybe Mississippi, Alabama, and a few other places, marijuana will be legal. Who's behind it?
Sure. So there's sort of two separate questions there. The first question is there scientific evidence that backs what I'm saying? And the answer is there's a ton of scientific evidence. The National Academy of Medicine, which is sort of the gold standard for science and medicine in the United States, it's the place the government goes when it has big scientific questions to answer. The National Academy of Medicine in 2017 said that use of cannabis is likely to increase the risk of schizophrenia, which is, you know, a really severe mental illness, or other psychoses, which, you know, that's when you break from reality and you have hallucinations and delusions and you really can't control your thoughts. And that the more you use, the greater the risk. So the science on this is largely settled.
Okay, but let me concede. Not that I'm debating you on the other side. If I had the other side here, they'd have to concede that, yes, there's no free lunch. And I think too often they get away with the free lunch argument that this is the one drug that doesn't cause that. But what significant difference can you say factually we know about, I still think, the most severe mental illness that we're choosing, schizophrenia, complete breakdown from reality, Alex?
Yes.
What are we talking about? What are the significant risks?
Well, if you start using cannabis as a teenager,
right,
and you use regularly, depending on you know, the strength you use and how often you use, you're doubling or quadrupling your risk of schizophrenia. That's what the best studies show. So that means that if 100 people use cannabis pretty heavily, 100 teenagers, somewhere between 1, 2, maybe 3 of those people will wind up developing schizophrenia. Who wouldn't? Now, that's not everybody, okay? And most people who use probably are not going to develop schizophrenia. But it's a terrible disease. It's terrible for people. And by the way, there's other problems with marijuana. It hurts motivation. It causes temporary psychosis that lands people in the ER for a night, and then they feel better. And all of those things are associated.
Well,
with
Alex,
violence.
To that point, I always talked about this before. You've taken it to another level. I'm a former high school teacher, and I saw kids around the time they started smoking, freshman year, eighth grade, and the lassitude, the academic stuff. It was nuanced, though. So I always thought it's insidious, particularly with people smoking a lot. But I never have seen anybody reputable that was talking about upper-level mental illness, psychosis, violence, and the like. Let me take it back to something, though, there, that I studied this and talked to people over the ages, and you mount quite an attack on this, medical marijuana. In other words, would your book say, based upon the best scientific evidence, that there is not a benefit to this, particularly various diseases, glaucoma, and other things we've heard over the years?
Yes, that's basically correct. And the National Academy of Medicine report goes into this in great detail. There's no such thing as medical marijuana. And this, of all the cynical things that the legalizers have done, pretending that this is a medicine is one of the most cynical. Okay, it's right up there with pretending that this can somehow solve the opioid crisis. There's no evidence of that.
Now, Alex, there are people too. They're using this for their own benefit. Maybe some of those groups, but there are a lot of well-intentioned people. There's been a lot of testimony across several states about the efficacy, and there are medical people that say this, of medical marijuana.
Sure. So look, there may be some people who get a benefit from using either a THC product or a CBD product. CBD, which is the non-intoxicating chemical in marijuana, that has been shown to reduce epilepsy symptoms in kids, and it's actually approved by the FDA for that use. So that's true, but that's not what people who are going to the dispensary in Colorado or who are calling up their local dealer for delivery, in Philadelphia or Brooklyn are getting. They're getting the highest potency THC product they can find.
And THC is the psychedelic part of this?
THC is the chemical that gets you high. It's the psychoactive compound.
Okay. Yes.
And a lot of people, and your listeners, I don't know how old your average listener is. They may have smoked a little bit of pot in college, or my joke is we smoked it at a Rush concert. I'm really dating myself, but they were smoking stuff that was relatively low in THC and probably not smoking very much of it. That is not the way marijuana users use the product today. Not most, but 20% of cannabis users use every day. Only 1 in 15 drinkers drinks every day. And a lot of those people actually are, what the industry calls wake and bakers. They're getting up and they're stoned all day, every day. And you said something actually that I thought was a great line. There's no free lunch. This product has been sold as you can be high all day, every day, and there's no long-term psychiatric consequences. And that is just not true.
If I said to you, you are as buttoned up as a guy, and Tucker Carlson I know and have a lot of respect for, but it still came across to me, or the line of attack could be, it's a bit over the top, though. You didn't stop at just saying the things that I say about this, but you're going into psychosis, and it had to feel, even the title of your book, which I get it, you have kids, and it's compelling to me, tell your children the truth about mental illness and this. Is that a bit to get us to, there are points of this, Alex, but it seems to be more severe than possible with this.
Unfortunately, it's not over the top.
Okay.
Psychosis and schizophrenia are terrible risks for violence. And the analogy I use on this is, the best study, which was conducted in 2009 and drew on a ton of other research, showed that people who have schizophrenia are about 20 times the risk to commit homicide as healthy people. Okay. You don't need to go find that study and read it. Just ask yourself this. If you're standing at the bus station on the curb, and the guy next to you is disheveled and talking to himself.
Yes.
And the bus is coming. Are you going to step away from that guy?
Nope.
Because you're not going to step away. You're going to.
Oh no! I'm not going to step into the street. I'm thinking of the subway. I'm getting out of there. Right.
Right. Right. You're getting out of the way. You're going to step away from that.
Exactly.
Not because he's necessarily going to do something, but because you know he's a risk. And schizophrenia and psychosis, and by the way, these are terrible diseases, and I don't mean to say that people who have them are not suffering, because they are suffering badly, and their families are suffering, but they are at a severe risk for violence. And when they're using drugs, recreational drugs, they're at a really severe risk for violence, and the drug they use more than any other, these folks, unfortunately, is cannabis.
We're talking with Alex Berenson, the brand-new book, Tell Your Children the Truth About Marijuana, Mental Illness, and Violence. Now, I've been trying to get somebody on, so I'm dying to ask you, because there's a lot in the book about Colorado. Initially, I remember there were problems in Colorado that the media reported on, particularly edibles and stuff like that. Now we've had Colorado, Alex, for a period of time. I don't hear as much in the media. It would be instructive to give us something definitive about what the results have been of legalized marijuana in Colorado.
Sure. So since 2013, you say that 2014 was when legalization really
right.
began, full recreational legalization. That was the day you could walk into a dispensary without a medical marijuana card and buy marijuana as an adult. So January 1st, 2014. So since 2013, the number of murders in Denver has just about doubled. Aggravated assaults are up about 50%. Statewide murders and aggravated assaults are both up sharply. Driving accidents where the person was using THC, fatal driving accidents are up. And suicides between 2006 and 2016, which is the most recent date for which we have data, where the person in Colorado was using THC, had THC in their blood, quadrupled.
Mm-hmm.
And the suicide rate overall in Colorado rose about 50%.
I might say, too, in the book, I have particular interest. I think this is the point in the book where you were able to get some of the pathology studies, right, of some of this stuff.
Yes. So
yes.
You can get tox screens on people. And many of those people who, you know, who engaged in confrontations with law enforcement where they got killed, a lot of those people had THC in their blood, more than had meth, more than had alcohol.
Right.
It's funny because we know that alcohol causes violence. Anybody who's been in a bar at 9 p.m.
Right.
and gone back at 3 a.m. knows what alcohol does to people. But we don't seem to know that about cannabis, and I just don't understand why. Actually, you asked a really good question earlier. You said, why is it that we don't know this? And the
mm-hmm.
answer is, for 20 years, the legalization community has essentially been spreading myths. They've said, well, there's a ton of people in jail for cannabis possession. That's not true. They've said that, you know, cannabis has a lot of medical uses. Not true. And they've said that, you know, that cannabis has no psychiatric consequences. Not true. But they, you know, this is a very attractive argument to people at the New York Times, where I used to work, to people at the Washington Post, people who consider themselves, you know, social justice warriors, people on the left. They haven't done the work to look at the real data. And they've just parroted what the drug policy reform groups have said to them.
Well, I think, too, politicians see a lot of tax money in here. And you're right. They believe that most people in jail were there because they had one joint or something like that. Isn't there evidence, though, for whatever reason, and we probably could spend a lot of time, a lot of it, that there does seem to be a disparity of the people that go to jail that are minorities versus whites?
So there's no question that people who are arrested are more commonly arrested if they're black or Hispanic.
Right.
That is absolutely true. Because almost nobody winds up in jail. Now, what the advocacy community would say was, okay, those people, they get caught up in the system, and it's bad for them even if they don't wind up in jail. And there's some truth in that. Okay, so if you want to decriminalize marijuana and say, we're not going to arrest
mm-hmm.
anybody, nobody's going to wind up in the local precinct, you're just going to get a ticket that you can pay a month later for $25, I get that. But that's very different than legalizing and having dispensaries on every corner and having an industry promoting this drug with lies.
I think if I had to summarize your position, then it is you're not coming down on the side of kicking in doors and doing all this, but you're saying if we keep a decriminalization at least, then we're going to ward off some of the worst abuses or the message that we're sending to kids.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And this has been a real failure of journalism. And you know, in places like Boston and places like Toronto, big newspapers, they're taking money from the cannabis industry. They have what they call verticals, where they have dedicated, you know, reporters who are just writing about this industry and doing it from sort of an industry-friendly point of view. It's a real mistake, and that's one reason why we've come so far with such strong evidence, you know, against this.
Absolutely. Kanye West, I didn't help but notice you have some reference to Kanye West in there. Why Kanye?
Well, Kanye, you know, it's an interesting story with Kanye. Kanye, you know, was psychiatrically hospitalized and had to cancel his tour.
Mm-hmm.
And his insurer, he wanted to get paid for the tour dates he hadn't been on. And his insurer said, we're not going to pay you. And Kanye's lawyer said they're blaming marijuana for his hospitalization. And it's, you know, Kanye's a funny guy, right? He's like, he had the meeting with Donald Trump. He's
yeah.
married to Kim Kardashian. He's sort of a comic figure. And I think there's been a lot of, you know, comedy around this, around psychosis, except it's all fun and games until somebody jumps off a bridge or, you know, stabs their roommate to death. Like psychosis is sort of funny until it isn't funny.
Exactly.
And,
right.
And then it's too late.
I can't tell you how much I loved seeing you with Tucker. Are you in demand out there? Do you do debates with people, Alex, or are you just a...
So I will debate anybody on the legalization side anytime, anywhere. They don't want to debate me because they know I know the science, and they don't want to talk to me. They want to pretend the book doesn't exist. The most upsetting thing to me in the last month has been NPR was going to have a big interview with me, and they backed off because they got afraid of the book. And to me, that's so stupid. If you don't like the book, if you think the book is wrong, ask me any question you want about it.
Yeah, and you're the perfect guy to have a debate with somebody who actually on the other side is credible too, versus, as I said at the beginning, the reefer madness type of stuff. This is a heck of a debate. It's a heck of a read. Anybody serious about this, I couldn't recommend the book enough.
I just say one last thing. Like, whatever happens with the public policy issues, and you know, probably we're going to have full legalization in this country. This is a book for parents who are concerned about their kids' use,
right.
And it's a book for young adults who might be having problems with cannabis and want some context, because this book might help you with that.
Absolutely right. Tell your children the truth about marijuana, mental illness, and violence. Alex, thank you. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Dom, thanks for having me.
Dom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.